I want you to know that they always hold to last. I don't know why, whether it's because he's so radical or whether he is so inspiring. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, when he gets through, you know you've been talked to. Bless me.
Actually, it wasn't a planned grand entrance where you have to call my name three times. I was really out there thinking. And as I was going over in my mind what it is I should say to you today, I tried to come up and envision what it is that will motivate you to do what has to be done. What are those magic words that will help you to realize the terribly critical situation that our race faces at this junction in history? Now, I know there must be some words that will convince you that you are the terminal generation. You're the last gasp of the white race. The evidence of that becomes clearer each day. As of the 1990 census, Texas is a non-white state. It's 49.7% white, and the rest is non-white. The United States will be the same by the year 2024. And what can a small handful of people, well-meaning for the most part, putting aside the federal whores, pimps, and assorted hottentot degenerates that are among us, putting them aside, most of you in here are well-meaning, thoughtful people who are concerned. You're concerned not only about the present, but many of you are concerned about the future. And what is it that we can do to change that future? Because the future as it exists today means the end for these white children playing out here on the ground and for the way of life that you know. They will never know it. Now the sad thing is there are millions upon millions of Americans who that doesn't bother them. They don't care. So really what distinguishes each of you who are sincere and who are here today from those millions is that you are a caring, loving person. And as I think of all the things that could motivate you to action, hatred, bitterness, anger, all emotions, and love, it is clear to me, perfectly clear to me, that only love will save us. Now, if that sounds to some of you like a soft, lukewarm stance, then you don't know me. Because you're going to have to love enough to take on the most vile, evil, malicious, degenerate federal government on the face of the earth, of any government in all of history, the most vile criminal people that ever walked the face of the earth now reside in Washington, D.C., and they are your masters. And I and you and our children do not need a master. As the ancient Vikings used to say when challenged to combat, when the enemy would call out to them, "Who is your king?" they would reply to a foe, "Every Viking is a king, and so shall it be with us." For as someone else told you earlier today, I had rather stand on my feet and fight like a man or die than to bend my knee to bow my head to federal tyranny.
So the only thing that is going to motivate you against those people is that you have to take this love that you have for your people, for your culture, for your heritage, and for children, and you have to use that love as the bulwark to brace your life to fight this vile system that now rules over our people. Now, don't doubt that it's vile. It's the most evil system that probably ever existed on earth. Ancient Babylon can do nothing compared to what Washington, D.C. can do. Every preacher, just about, has to tell us about Babylon, and they have to tell us about Nimrod. Well, I want to tell you about George Bush and them filthy, degenerate, queer sodomites that he sits with every day and that rules this nation, because that's the enemy. And those of you that don't yet realize that the greatest threat to the survival of the white race on the face of this earth is Washington, D.C., if you don't fully understand that, you're not even in the struggle. You're a peripheral man. You're off running after tangents. Tangents that don't matter, because you can strike at an octopus's arms for as long as you live, cutting off little bits and pieces of the tentacles, but until you take a spear and run it around and ram it in their head, raise it up like that, swing it around like that, and shove it in the ground, you're going to be a slave. And I, for one, and I feel like many of you sitting in here right this moment are not going to make good slaves, are we? You're going to take a lot more chains than what they've got right now to make a slave out of some of us. The threat that they hold over you, that they use to make you obey, is the threat of jail or death. So once you conquer those two fears of jail or death, they have no power over you whatsoever. Now, for those of you who are sincere and devout believers in the message that's been espoused here today, that's who I'm talking to. The rest of you chew bubblegum or go outside and play. To those who are devout, listen closely. Jail is a threat and death is a threat. That's all the power they have over you. If you truly believe what you've told other people just since you've been on these grounds, if you truly believe that your children have a right to a place under the sun, have a right to walk the country and to live a happy, productive life, if you believe that you have the right to freedom, to productivity, to the fruits of your labor, if you really believe those things, then you are going to have to commit yourself wholeheartedly to the willingness to go to jail or to die. Otherwise, you are a pretender. That's it, you're a pretender. If you're not willing to go to jail for these children, for your country, for your culture, for your people, you're a pretender. Yeah. One of my many friends approached me today and said, "Lewis, are you going to speak?" And I said, "Yes, they've drafted me. I'm speaking." He said, "Are you going to get on us today? Are you going to chastise us?" And because last time I was here, some thought that I did. I'm notorious for telling you exactly what I feel. One thing you can bet on is I'm not going to lie to you. If I say it, I don't have any notes. There's nothing in my back pocket. I'm telling you what I feel. You can take it. You can leave it. Whatever you want to do. We have two problems in this country. One is us and one is the government. For this is going to be an equal opportunity speech. I'm going to tell you about both problems. Now, one of them you always want to hear about. You want to hear about all of these bad people that have destroyed America, and I don't blame you. You want to hear about all the things that they've done, what they're doing, what they're going to do, how they've misruled, how they've utterly, utterly made this country a place where many of us are ashamed when we travel overseas to say, I'm an American, because we know what American means. It means a queer in the Capitol White House room who's been elected to Congress conducting his business in the bathroom. That's an American. That's an American today. I mean, if you go by what George Bush and them say, they represent us. You elected them, or somebody did. So that's the best America has so far as their system is concerned. And so we always want to hear about them things. And I'll tell you about them, because they deserve to be talked about. Actually, they deserve a lot more than to be talked about. But I've already been indicted for conspiracy, sedition, and trying to overthrow the government. So I won't tell you what all they deserve. I'll leave it to your imagination. But there's another side to that coin. Flip it over, and you'll see yourself. Well, maybe not yourself. Maybe it's your next door neighbor, your best friend, or someone sitting next to you here. But it's some of us, obviously it's some of us, because we're losing. We're losing. And there's no good reason for us to be losing. We've conquered for 7,000 years. Why aren't we doing it today? We're losing. And the problem is that we have become a weak people. We're afraid of everything. Now, it's okay if you walk up to the edge of the Rocky Mountain out here and you look over and you see it's 4,000 feet down and you think, gee, I'm afraid to go any further to the edge. That's not cowardly fear. That's astuteness. That's very wise. You take another step and it's over the edge. I'm not complaining about that. What I'm complaining about is you're afraid to push the enemies over the edge of that cliff. You're afraid because you might go to jail. Right. I mean, think about it. That's just four letters. But, boy, think about it. Your wife's gone. Kids may be in an orphanage. All of these things I'm telling you have happened. Your family's destitute. And while you're in jail, the FBI is harassing your wife. And you're going to be in there 10, 20, maybe... You'll really bomb out and get 230 years like David Lane. Think about that. The rest of your life in jail. Wow. That's daunting. That's big. It means the end of everything you know right now so far as your personal life is concerned. And that is the tool that they have over you. That is the knife they hold at your throat. So, you have to decide if you really believe. If you really believe what you say you believe and are willing to jump across that crevice and say, to hell with you, it's freedom or jail. Second weapon they hold over you, and many of you are victims of it, you're afraid to die. Now, I don't really understand that, because you're all going to die. Everybody in this room will be dead 100 years from tonight. Why don't you die for something's worthwhile? Why not die for your race, your culture, your heritage, your people? That's something to die for. Why be like all of these liberals and these yuppie socialist scum who live and die for a stereo or an UBMW? What is life for those worms, those miserable worms? It is nothing. They are lower than this carpet. They cannot see the future. They cannot see a generation ahead of themselves. They can't even see tomorrow. And that's what delineates. That's what defines us. That's what makes us different from them. It's not just tomorrow we care about. much less today. I care about the future of these children's great-grandchildren. Don't you?
Amen.
That's what makes us different. We love. We're not, we get nothing out of this. We get jail out of this. We lose our wives over this. We lose our families. Our children are taken from us. Our jobs. There's probably, without a doubt, 90% of the men in here have lost a job over their political beliefs. This is a terribly oppressive, doctrinaire country and government and system that rules over us. There's seldom a man in the movement that hasn't been standing out on the street because of what he believes in. But what is it we believe in? We believe they have a right to a future, and if you don't like that, here's some lead. Is that conspiracy? Then so be it. Hallelujah! I solemnly vow, I solemnly pledge to conspire to my dying breath for the right to the life for my people. That's it. That's conspiracy. So then once we make that vow, we overcome, if we believe the word, the fear of jail, and then the next big hurdle. Do you believe that the right for our race to continue 3, 4, 5, 10, 100 generations ahead, would you give your life for that?
Absolutely.
I mean, really? You don't have to answer out loud, but I'm asking you. You answer in your head. Because no man knoweth what another man believes except the Father. No matter what you tell me, I don't know what you believe. But I'm asking you. And I wish you were all closer so I could look you in the eye. But do you believe enough for the right to life of our culture, of our people, and our young children? You will die. Answer the question. I'll give you a moment. Now, if the answer is affirmative, yes, I think those children have a right to grow up, to live in a nice home on a street, to learn, to study, to appreciate music, art, to know all of the things that I've known and my grandfather knew and his grandfather before him. Yeah, I think, yeah, by golly, I'll die for it. When you really believe that you'll die for it, then the last knife that they hold against your throat is broke. And they have no power over you. None. They're back to the status of worm instead of master. And I say, let's make worms out of every federal government agent in America. And you can do it. I can't make worms out of them. I can only make worms out of my share of them. That's the ones that I come into contact with. I'm asking you to make measly, miserable, low-life worms out of all federal agents. Break that knife in two and throw it over your shoulder and get your own.
Nice.
You have to believe when you raise that hand, you have to feel the power that comes from total, absolute, unconditional commitment. We win or we die. So basically, that's my position. It's really an easy position to understand. It's called a fight to the death.
And I think what I want to motivate you to do is to go home and consider, will you make the commitment? Because we must have more people that make that commitment to break those two swords, the fear of jail, the fear of death. Because when you do that, you become as powerful as 100,000 homosexual degenerate federal FBI agents. You become as powerful as all the federal marshals in America when your numbers are joined with ours. For two come together, and then three, and then 10, then 20, and then 100. We know no fear. We don't want to die, but we know no fear. To whoever's the federal whore here today, to hell with you. To hell with you. If you were a man, I would challenge you to a combat, but you're just a worm. You see, I have made worms out of you. Worms! And I only fight with men. That you're not. And take that back to George Bush. Tell him to put it in his broccoli and smoke it. So, those are the two things that you can do that will allow us to win. And why do we have to win? I mean, is there really a struggle going on? Are we really at war? Or we hear that word so much, W-A-R, maybe there's really not a war. Maybe this is just a figment of the imagination of some radical lunatic right-wing clique who reads too many patriotic funny books. Maybe there's not any war. Maybe we're really at peace. Peace in our time. Yes, indeed. Peace in our time. Maybe there's not any war. There's probably some 1, 2, 3, 4 people in here that are thinking, you know, all this talk about war. There's no war. What war? I can go to the movie. I can drink my beer. I can even choose what underwear and deodorant I want to use. What war? Hey, dummy, try to send your kid to a school where he get a quality education and where it won't be attacked by beasts and animals who have no respect for anything, least of all themselves, and you'll find out it's a war. I'll never forget the little white child, the picture of it in the Oklahoma Times, Tulsa, Oklahoma. This little white child being chased across the ice, school bus in the background of the picture, and three federal marshals running after that seven-year-old. Tell me there's no war. He knows about the war, and he's 7 years old. How old are you and you don't know about it? He knows. Tell me there's no war when intentionally and deliberately a once great and powerful nation that surpassed the Roman Empire many times over has been brought near to its knees and soon, praise Yahweh, will be on its knees. America, not because we tried to put it there, not because we wanted America on its knees, but because the system that rules in this country today is a system of lies and hypocrisy and deceit, and the lie will not stand. It will fall. Any nation built on such false premises as the millions you hear about, equality, all of the every man is equal, all is different, you cut through his skin, we've all got blood, oh well. Tell that to the chimpanzees. Tell it to some ignoramus with a BA or an MA. But don't tell it to me, I'm just a country boy and I know better. America is being destroyed. There is a war. The very existence in right to life for us is on the line. And you are going to have to decide if you want to be in this and win. Some of you here don't care if we win or not, or are not willing to do what's necessary to win. So I'm not really talking to you. But for those that really and truly deep down inside want to win,
You must make that commitment. So what will motivate you, what will send you on your merry way to the destruction of Zog, is for you to make the commitment that I fear no jail and I fear no death. I ask you to join with me in that and with others, others who have already became such mindedness. The enemy rules us. And I say the sword must be broken. I can't do it. And you are not going to do it. But perhaps if 2, 3, 4, 5 of us come together and we become strong, and then that 5 grows to 100,000 who says liberty or death and means it, America will be ours. Our children will have a right to life. And if we win, the entire world benefits. Because we are the true lovers. It is love alone that motivates me to fight for my people. And it is love that makes me hate so righteously the enemies that would destroy all the beautiful and good things on this earth. That's love. And love and hate are balanced off as emotions in your heart that motivate you or depress you. And if you just have hate, it's going to depress you. You must love truly. And greater love hath no man than he that lays down his life for another. And not just another sitting next to you, but will you lay your life down for this little girl's playing out here, her great-grandchild? Would you lay your life down for her child? Tough question. It takes tough men and women. And women. So that's what's going to motivate you, love. Should we hate? Are we allowed to hate?
You go to hell if you hate people, son.
You hear that on Sunday morning. Gee, I got to one day, they locked me up in prison. Praise Yahweh for it. Hallelujah. I count that as one of the greatest moments in my life when they grabbed me and throwed me in leg arms, marched me off to Springfield, and threw me in the bottom of the hole by myself. I was praising Yahweh. Finally, I get to see the enemy up front. Here's where I'll know him. I'll learn all about him here. And when I learn it all, I'll get loose from here and I'll use it against him. Second day I was at Springfield in the hole, somebody hollers out, we can't see each other. Hey, what are you in here for? I only thought a second. Much shorter time than it took me to walk over there and back. I said, I'm in here for the most beautiful, wonderful charge any man in America has ever been thrown in jail. I'm in here for trying to overthrow the government. How wonderful, how beautiful, I loved it. The feds didn't know how well they were treating me. I will always count that as a blessing in my life. I'll never forget it. And I'm asking you, each of you, to think about it. I'm asking you to love. And if you can't, if you're not able, then you will not be able to take those two swords, jail in prison, and snap them. And if you want to win, if you want to see a future for our race, for our culture, and for those great-grandchildren of that little girl out there, then you've got to break the sword. Will you break it?
You bet.
Do you have what it takes break it? You don't got to tell me. In the quietness of the night,
as you lay in your bed and you look up at the ceiling just before you pass into sleep, I want you to ask yourself that question. No one's going to hear the answer but you. If you answer it in the affirmative, the right to life for our people is guaranteed. Because our Father promises that if we are worthy, we shall be victorious. And He is worthy who breaks the sword of the tyrant. Hail victory!